Tomorrow is Police Officer Memorial Day. The following is the first part of a two-part in-depth program that first aired in 2008 on that day of remembrance and the day following. While the stories of our police officers who lost their lives in the line of duty in our county remain the same, some things have changed. Sheriff Ron Gomat has retired, as has Chief Deputy Mel Vanderweel. Alvin Olivier has retired from the Knoxville Police Department and now works part-time as a Marion County deputy.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Over the years, I have heard that at least one Marion County law enforcement officer had lost their life in the line of duty. Since National Police Officer Memorial Day is today, last week I decided that I needed to do some research. Let's go in depth with Marion County Sheriff Ron Gomat, Chief Deputy Mel Vanderweel, Knoxville Police Department Sergeant Alvin Olivier, and Cheryl Hanthorne Pella. I began my research with a visit to Sheriff Ron Gomat and Chief Deputy Mel Vanderweel. Sheriff, to your knowledge, have any law enforcement officers given their lives in the line of duty in Marion County?
Yes. In recent times, I'm aware of two officers who have died in line of duty within Marion County, one being a deputy and one being a Pella police officer.
Could you tell us something about the circumstances, the people involved?
Well, the deputy who lost his life in line of duty was assisting Pella on a call and lost his life in that event.
And when was that?
That was in 1967.
And the officer's name?
Harold Gates. He was a Pella resident and worked for Marion County Sheriff's Office as a deputy.
And anyone else?
There was also a Pella officer who lost his life, John Van Haften, and that was in 1980. And that was a drug-related incident that the Pella officer was assisting Knoxville Police Department, I believe, and he as well lost his life in the line of duty.
Mel, you were a friend with Officer Van Haften.
That's correct.
Tell us what he was like.
He was a very fun-loving person, and I think that's why we got together and did a lot of things together. We both had similar personalities. I think not that we lived on the edge of trouble all the time, but there was always fun between the both of us. If I couldn't figure out what to do that was going to be fun and exciting, he could. And we made life very interesting that way, and it was a bond that will never be broken.
When you think back, what's one of your favorite times with him?
Well, at the time, we did a lot of hunting and fishing and so forth together, and he was a person that needed very little sleep, and I, on the other hand, enjoyed sleeping very much, and he'd always be ready to go very early in the morning, and I can remember a time he knew where my house key was hidden. Of course, we were that close, and I woke up to the smell of bacon being fried and the sound of eggs being fried in my kitchen, and he had decided it was time to get up, so he came over to our place, and he started cooking breakfast for me.
So a real good friendship.
Yes, very, very close, yes.
One of those once or twice in a lifetime friendships?
Probably. If you're lucky to get another friend like that in a lifetime, it would be very surprising.
It was hard to lose him. How old was he?
He'd be in his 20s somewhere.
And so losing him was very difficult.
It was for me, especially because we were that close. But I can also remember the emotions of the entire department, especially that evening. I had to go to work that night, and the officers that were on duty that night, just to exist through the evening and just to exist through the next few days is basically all we could do at that time.
Because of the loss of the friend and also the circumstances that you would know that you could well be in that same or similar circumstance.
Right. You know, he lived a half a block from my residence. He lived a half a block from one of the other two officers' residences. At that time, there was four of us that lived within a block. And we all became very close in that way. And it happened to be that the two of us that were close worked that particular evening. And it was very, very difficult. He also knew his family very well. Being that close, you knew that his wife was pregnant at the time, and she had a boy after that. So knowing all those situations, knowing the traumatic events that have led up to the death, it was a tragic loss, and all the situations that she'd have to go through were all on your mind and weighed very heavily.
So it was more than just the loss of the friend. It was knowing its impact in the community and on his family that was tremendous. It must have hit the entire Pella community pretty hard.
It did very much when he was in the line of duty and then shot and killed. That is a very big impact for a community and the people that surround very closely those people.
And can you tell us some more about the circumstances?
He was assisting Knoxville Police Department on undercover drug buys, and it went bad. He walked into a residence, and the subject that was in the residence shot him with a 20-gauge slug.
Just opened the door and there
basically,
was.
Yes.
And do you think of him often?
I do. You know, if I'm out hunting or if I'm out fishing and there's certain situations that arise, I think of him a lot. I get to see his son around Pella quite a bit. I get to see his wife around there and obviously his daughters also. And you can't see one of them without going back immediately to that time. You can heal through that process, but obviously you're never going to forget it.
And why is it important to remember?
When you die in the line of duty, you die servicing the public, helping public, keeping the community safe. You truly believe in that. You have a heartfelt desire to keep that community safe. And when you lose an officer doing that, I think it's extremely important because that officer believes in what he's doing. He's emotional about what he's doing. And to be able to lose somebody that emotional, that caring and that generous is a huge loss, not only to a family, but a community.
And so it's not just those that were close to him at the time, but all of us that should remember.
Correct.
More in depth after this. I spoke with Sergeant Alvin Olivier with the Knoxville Police Department. Sergeant, you were there the afternoon that John Van Haften lost his life in the line of duty.
Yes, I was.
Could you tell us what happened?
At 2:00 in the afternoon, I reported to duty for my normal shift and was given information that we had an informant that was working with an undercover Pell officer, who was Officer John Van Haften, to make a drug buy here in Knoxville. We had a briefing on what was going to take place, our assignments, and after that briefing, we proceeded to our locations. And my role in this operation was to be John's backup officer and observe him and the informant as they went to the house to make the buy. I positioned myself actually it was in my own personal vehicle, approximately a block away from the residence. There was an open field, so I had full view of the residence. When I got to that location, Officer Van Haften and the informant went up to the door, knocked. The door was opened, and just a matter of a few seconds, the door was slammed shut in their face. I observed Officer Van Haften then start to kick the door in. I immediately radioed to the other backup officers that there was a problem to head for the scene, and I immediately proceeded that way. And on my way, which only took a matter of seconds because when the DCI did arrive for the investigation later, we determined a small amount of time that it took for me to leave my post to get to the scene. But in that time, I heard Officer Van Haften on his radio say that he had been shot. As I got to the residence, I exited my car, of course. I ran towards the house using what I could as cover. I remember a tree there that I ran behind before I went to the door. As I arrived to the door that Officer Van Haften had entered, I met him at the door. He more or less stumbled into my arms and probably more or less died in my arms as we went to the ground together. And other officers then proceeded into the house to take the suspects into custody while I stayed with Officer Van Haften to render whatever aid I could. He did die at the scene. So after everybody was taken into custody, the scene was secured as a crime scene, which is normal policy. The DCI was called in to investigate, and we took it from there. And, of course, that led to quite an investigation with interviews and what have you. Then, of course, you know, it's quite a shock to believe that this was all happening so fast, so soon, and to such a young man that had a family, because I did know John Van Haften somewhat over the years. At the funeral, I did serve as a pallbearer along with other officers. Then after the funeral, I remember receiving a phone call from a family member that they would like to have me come over sometime and meet with them as a family to just discuss the situation. And they had some questions they wanted answered. And I did proceed to do that and was very comfortable, had a very comfortable visit with the family. It was sad, but I never regret doing that.
And those memories never fade, do they?
No, that's a day you'll never forget. Each anniversary date of that day of every year, you more or less, I can honestly say, I pretty much relive that whole day, that incident. Happened in April, and even though it's been 28 years ago this year, there's still some memories that you remember, and like I say, every year you recollect those memories and kind of relive that situation. And not only that day, but even throughout the year, because even in the line of duty in this work, you get into other situations that you recall, reflect back on that situation, and so you do use extra caution in some situations that you're called upon to investigate or be a part of.
More in depth after this. Sheriff Gomat, Chief Deputy Vanderweel, and Sergeant Olivier all told me that it was very important that I speak with Cheryl Hanthorne of Pella. Cheryl, when did you first meet John Van Haften?
Well, when I first met him was actually in second grade. When I look back at school pictures, we were in second grade together. At that point, you know, I don't know that we knew very much about one another. But meeting in a way that later became a romance, that was high school 8 years. We were in the same grade but different schools. But John showed up at our youth group at church with some friends, and then later started coming to our youth group all the time. And then later began showing some interest. And actually, he surprised me when I got a phone call from a payphone uptown. John got so nervous that he actually put the money in at the wrong time. And when I said hello, there was nobody there. But he didn't give up. He called back. And then I went riding around with him that evening for a while. And from there on, it was weekly dating for 2 years and then marriage.
And when did you get married?
We got married May 4, 1973, which is now 35 years. Unbelievable.
What was special about him?
Oh, man, John had fire in his bones. He was energetic. He was ornery. He had the brownest eyes that flashed with orneriness. He never did something halfway. He put 100% energy and passion into all the things that he did. A natural mechanical inclination. He could fix things in ways that I kind of went, wow. He loved the outdoors. He enjoyed animals. He and Mel Vanderweel, his fellow officer, trapped together, hunted together. He was good with construction and building things, and he was good with people. Now, when John was younger, I guess one of the things I do remember from second grade is John had a little bit of a stutter, and there was always a little bit of insecurity, I think, about kind of who he was. And probably one of the most exciting things for me to experience over the years was how he grew in confidence. And it, particularly later when John became a police officer, I saw that grow by leaps and bounds, just that confidence, to the point where he was getting asked to speak at church youth groups about God's law and man's laws and how do those mesh. And boy, that would have been something he would have never dreamed of, he would have said yes to. So a guy of fire and energy.
Well, other people that I've spoken with that know him really admired him and loved him very much.
That was something I knew, but John and I were pretty, you know, we were common people that didn't go a lot of places, you know. But after John's death, I was amazed by the number of cards and letters I received with people who made comments about how he had impacted them, and particularly a few people that he'd made a few traffic stops with. And the comments dealt with how he was always tough but fair, and they always felt understood regardless of the consequences. And those were really cool things to be able to read about his interactions with others. He was well-loved.
And he left us at a much too young of age.
Oh, 25 is too young, yes. All three of John's kids are now older than that, and that was a significant milestone for each of them to surpass that and realize how young 25 is.
Mm-hmm. You miss him very much.
A guy like John, he's always there in your own bones, in your own heart, and he always will be.
Do you have a favorite story you'd like to share?
Oh, man, with John, there's so many stories. There's the rushing to the field when he was working for a farmer, actually for Marvin Hafton, who later became a sheriff, and hits a rut, goes over the top of the motorcycle, injures a shoulder, goes to the doctor, gets put in a sling. He's told for 2 weeks to really baby it, and the next day I see him climbing into the combine, you know, and it didn't look like he was babying that arm. You know, another story, he was off duty actually as an officer, but there was about a 4 to 5 foot bull snake in a yard that someone had called in that they needed help with. And who gets called? John. John gets to go get the bull snake, get it into a garbage can, take it to the country. Oh, with his kids, John was fun. And a favorite picture of mine is when our oldest child was about 9 months old, he would put on his bib overhaul. She would stick her little feet in the back pockets, hold on to the straps of the bib overhauls, and do the horsey ride around the house. And they were crazy. Once in a while, I thought, wait a minute, do I have one kid or two? that's how it was with John. Like I said, he was ornery.
You brought a wonderful folder of photos and memories and newspaper mm-hmm. articles. And mm-hmm. what a lovely family.
Yes. John and I had two daughters. When John was killed in April of 1980, we had a family with two beautiful daughters who were 4.5 and 2.5 at that point, Tricia and Jana. And we were 3 months pregnant with our next child. And John was already rooting very strongly for a boy. And we had already decided what we would name him, Benjamin John. And we were a beautiful family. We had a lot of fun together. Actually, we had just returned from a family vacation. We spent the early part of April of 1980 in Cincinnati visiting my sister and her husband and family, and had been home really just a few days, and it had been Easter Sunday. We'd gotten home in time for that. John helped with the Hoganacker fire, a big fire uptown of a business, and he'd gotten called in that Sunday afternoon, and then the following Wednesday, John was killed in the line of duty. And that trip to Cincinnati really was instrumental for us as a couple, because in a bigger city like that, we heard police sirens often during the night as we were there during that week. And he and I began talking about the danger that is with the job of being a police officer. And we actually, on the way home, had talked about what we'd do if something happened to either one of us. And I can't tell you how comforting the fact was that we'd had those discussions. We were always able to be pretty open with each other. John hit things head on. He didn't shirk from fear. He didn't shirk from emotions. He didn't shirk from pain. He went at it. And that was inspirational to me when he was gone.
And what would you like people to remember about him?
Well, oh man, there are so many things. John was a person of strong character, and a lot of that came through his own growing up years. John has three siblings. Nell is the oldest, and then there was John 3 years later, and then the twins, Ruth and Ron. And when they were young, when John was 11, his own mother suddenly died from a blood clot. And so it became the four kids and dad, and they learned a lot how to work together and how to be strong with one another. And I just think that kind of character, that always sees a light at the end of the tunnel, stays positive and stays focused on doing good. You know, I remember a few times he came home from some pretty bad scenes or accidents or so on, and I remember the nights he couldn't sleep when he'd come home from police work and how we'd talk about it. And by morning, he usually had figured out some ways to work through that and work through some of the unfairnesses of life and move forward positively and think about what can you do to make a difference. You can't always fix the past, but you can make a difference for the future.
And how are you doing today, 27 years later, 28 years later?
28. I'm doing well. You know, the first, it was tough. There's just no way to put how tough it is to lose somebody you love. And so tragically and so suddenly, but the community was incredible. 6 months later, when Ben was born, there were many a night I was up in the middle of the night with him, and I would see the police lights go across the front of my house. This community continued to love, protect, and support us. And about 2 years later, I started college and got my teacher's degree, then went on for my master's in counseling. I knew that I also needed to think about how would I provide for my family in the future. And about 3.5 years after John was killed, I ended up meeting somebody actually from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Larry Hanthorn, and after about a year of courtship, we married. Larry's done a great job of learning the stories of John and keeping those alive with our kids. Our kids are blessed with two dads, and we talk a lot. We share the stories. When it was the 25th anniversary of John's death, our oldest daughter actually got pretty busy gathering stories, pictures. Our son, Ben, worked for a short time as reserve officer for the city of Pella, and during that time got to rub shoulders with a lot of other people and hear stories of John. Our daughter, Jana, has talked with people, and I think as well, those stories stay alive and get shared and get chronicled in a book, that's part of surviving well, is because you can affirm your past, and you can use that to walk into the future. And as a family, we are doing well.
Tomorrow in In-Depth, we learn about how Marion County lost Deputy Harold Gates in 1967. Thanks to Sheriff Ron Gomat, Chief Deputy Mel Vanderweel, Knoxville Police Department Sergeant Alvin Olivier, and Cheryl Hanthorn for contributing to the program. Thanks also to all of our current law enforcement officers who patrol our streets and highways today, risking their lives in service to us all. A special thanks to Officer John Van Haften, Deputy Harold Gates, and their families for all of their sacrifices. We will remember. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.